Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. And Lord willing, this morning I want to preach on the soul winner. The soul winner. The Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the purpose of Jesus coming. That is it. That's the purpose of Jesus coming. You wouldn't be sitting in a church in the house of God today, saved, born again, if Jesus would not have come. If Jesus would not have had a burden to seek and to save that which was lost. The key is this. We need to have that burden too. And I know many do, but I think we need sometimes revive that burden in our heart. Because Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. So I pray that this message will help us to be more soul conscious, the more soul conscious, and the more soul winning. And there's one thing we need in our day is to be soul conscious. There's only one thing you can take to heaven with you, and that's another soul. That's it. That's it. I know we've got to make a living. I don't have a problem with that. You got to make a living. I know you have to have a car. I know you have to have a house. But you can't take any of that with you. But you can take one person with you. One person. You can take many people with you. And that's the only thing you can take with you. So we want to look at Acts chapter 2 verse 14 at the beginning. And we're going to read several verses. And if you're able to, if you'd like to stand in reverence to God and reverence Word, let's stand please. Acts chapter 2. And I want you to notice verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. To save a little bit of time, won't you skip to verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not hope to be, not wonder if you are, but thank God, shall be saved. Verse 32, this Jesus of God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. Remember that. We are witnesses. Verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know as surely that God had made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children. Thank God that not only does it touch your life, it'll touch your children's life. And all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. Wouldn't you like to have been there? See 3,000 people get saved at one time? I tell you what, you're talking about a revival meeting. I'd like to be in a meeting like that. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Look at verse 37. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. My Father, I know it's not by our might nor power, but it is by the Spirit of God. We thank you for the services this week. We thank you for the special music this week. We thank you for all the congregation. Thank God for the young people getting involved like they have. Just a blessing to see young people surrender to God's will for their lives. And we're thankful for that. Thank God for this dear pastor and his wife. And they've been friends of ours for a long time. Thank God for this church and their kindness, their hospitality. The food's been wonderful. Thank you for all that you've done in our hearts and our lives physically, but thank you for what you've done in our hearts spiritually. Appreciate Brother South and the message that he's preached. I thank you for just using those messages, speaking to every heart, working to every life. But Lord, we're a needy people this morning. We need to hear from the Lord this morning. So I'm nothing, and I know I'm nothing, but you're everything. So I pray you'll exalt your name. I pray you'll glorify your name. I pray you'll bring forth fruit for the glory of God. I pray that there's somebody here If there's someone here that's lost, I pray they'll get saved this morning, get born into God's family. If there's someone here backslidden, cold and indifferent, I pray they'll get right with God this morning. I pray for those that might be discouraged, they'll be encouraged this morning. I pray for those that are fighting the good fight of faith. Victory is in Christ Jesus. So I pray you'll give us victory this day. Help us to honor you now. Help us to exalt your name. Glorify yourself is our prayer. Thank you for who you are, what you've done, and what you're doing in our midst. And we'll give you the praise now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach a message entitled, The Soul Winner's Message. The Soul Winner's Message. I think about the soul winner. Now in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. God does the saving, and everybody said, but God uses us to be a witness. And he calls us soul winners. I like deer hunting. I do. And I try to pursue a deer. But I'd rather pursue a soul any day. I know that we're living in a world, and mostly the world is out for fame, and they're out for fortune. I'd rather win a soul any day. There's a lot of things in this world, a lot of cares in this world, cares in this life that people run to. But I'd rather try to win a soul any day. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25, a true witness delivereth souls. So you're either a true witness or you're a false witness. There's a lot of false witnesses out there, a lot of false teaching out there. But I'm glad that we got the truth, and the truth will make you free. Thank God for that. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. I like what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now we say that, but how many times do we really witness? Now to be honest with you, if I get to know you, I'll talk to you. But if I don't get to know you, I'm really kind of on the reserve side. I just am. And if we talk, thank God, I get to know you, I can talk and I can talk and I can talk. But it's hard. It is hard for me to just witness. But I'm going to be honest with you. Gospel track is about one of the easiest ways you can witness to a person. I was at the post office one day and I was walking in, and right before I got there, there was a fellow that was just standing there, and I gave him a gospel tract, and he took that gospel tract. When I went inside, I come back out, he was still sitting there reading that gospel tract. So I sat beside him. I began to witness to him, and I began to talk to him. I said, why are you reading that tract? He said, well, I'm interested in this tract. I said, why is that? He said, because I've been thinking about God, and I think God's been thinking about me. And I said, I'd like to know him better. I got to witness to him, and he got saved by the grace of God, all because of a gospel tract. The other day, I think I already mentioned to you, I was at the hospital just walking after we left the hospital. I was walking there in front of the hospital, and there's a fellow that was sitting there on a bench. All I did was give him a gospel tract. And when I did, I turned around, and he was reading that gospel tract. Turned back around, got witnessing to him. And he's been going through some trials and troubles, and God's been dealing with his heart. And he called on God, repentance and faith, and he got saved. I don't believe in easy believism. I really don't. But some people God's dealing with. And sometimes the fruit is already ripe. All you and I got to do is just be that witness and that testimony. And by the way, easy believism, sin is not easy. It's hard on a person. What Jesus did on the cross was not easy. It was hard. The death, the burial, and the resurrection was not easy. It was hard. I do believe the gospel is simple, but conviction is not easy. It'll bring you to a place, and it ought to bring you to a place. It brought me to the place where we come to ourselves, where we realize we're nothing and we need God. And we don't just need God just to help us. We need God to save us and do a work in our hearts. In Jude 22 and verse 20, and also 23, some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even a garment spotted by the flesh. So that is the soul winner. You and I are to be soul winners. You and I are to be soul winners. You and I are to be soul winners. If you don't take gospel tracts with you, and I'm not trying to be mean, but if you don't take gospel tracts with you, you're not soul conscious. You're really not. Here's some brochures right here. You know what you ought to do? You ought to give them out. You really ought to. You ought to give them out. That's simple. That's something that's easy. You're talking about making choices. That's one of the easiest things you can do. All you got to do is give them out. That's all you got to do is just give them out. And you've just given the Word of God. You've just given the Word of God. There's nothing better, no greater gift you can give than the Word of God. I mean none. There's a fellow that actually works with Rock of Ages now. And he was sharing his testimony while he was coming through candidate school. And so anyway, I asked him how he got saved. So anyway, he was traveling, stopped at a rest stop, went to go use the restroom, and there was a gospel tract sitting right there. He said he rubbed that thing. He took it home with him. Later on, he wrote it again. Finally, he knelt down beside his bed, called on God, repentance of faith, and got saved by the grace of God. He's been a pastor for many years. Now God's called him to Rock of Ages prison ministry, and he's going into prison all because of a gospel tract. So if you don't have any, you ought to get some. I was going to say shame on you. So shame on you and then get some. Amen. I'm just telling you, you can hand out a gospel tract. I tell you what I really like to do when I pay my bills, I put gospel tracts in there. Number one, I hope they'll reduce my monthly paying it, amen? And number two, if they don't, at least God can save that crowd, amen? I think I got those backwards. But anyhow, all I know is this, you ought to hand out gospel tracts. Am I right about that? You ought to have your hand full, you ought to have your pocket full. I'm not being critical, but we can go to a restaurant sometime with a bunch of preachers, and not any of them preachers got a gospel tract. All I know is this, we believe in it, you believe in it, but sometimes we're not thinking about it. Got to be so minded. Got to be so conscious. Got to be so winning. And I tell you what, you don't have to be a preacher to hand out a gospel tract. Everybody ought to hand out a gospel tract. We got better news than anybody else. So anyway, the soul winner. And then the message. What a message. What a message. Right here, someday you'll stand before God. I gave this to a fella. He would not take it. But I showed it to him. And he read it. He said, "You'll stand before God. Someday you'll stand before God." He said, "I ain't taking that." But he read it out loud when I was to give it to him. So anyway, he said, "I ain't taking that. But I guarantee you at nighttime when he goes to bed, he's going to think, someday he'll stand before God. Someday he'll stand before God. When he goes through some trial in his life, I think God's going to bring it. Someday he'll stand before God. Someday he'll stand before God." I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. So anyway, what a message we got in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, and also verse 7. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." What a message. "This then is the message we have heard of Him declared unto you, that God is light." We're living in a dark world. A dark world. You know what? We have the light of the gospel. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13, "And this is the record, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son of life, he that hath not the Son of God of not life. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." What better message is that? I don't know there's a better message than that. Amen. What a message. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, and Paul was writing to the church of Corinth. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." What a message, friend. What a message. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up there and he preached. And I know Peter had his faults, and we all do. But I believe if God can use Peter, I believe God might can use me and you. Amen. I believe it might could. And so here Peter stood up, and brother, he had a message second to none. And he preached with power and unction of the Holy Spirit. And God used him in a great way. That day was the day of Pentecost. It was a celebration for Israel. There's a lot of people there. It was in Jerusalem. And brother, he took advantage of that. He stood up and he preached. And I want to talk about the soul winner's message. And I believe God used Peter to be a soul winner. I believe God used those disciples to be a soul winner. And I know it took him 3.5 years to train them. I know when I first got saved, I wasn't trained. I was brought up Catholic. I did not know John 3:16. I didn't. One thing about Catholics is you come to the church and they go through a mass. It's a ritual, and that's all they go through. And then Every Sunday is exactly the same. And if you've been Catholic, you know what I'm talking about. And they'll read a little verse, and that's about all they do, and they comment on just a little bit. So I didn't know, we didn't bring our Bibles. I didn't know where Bible verses was, but I did know what Jesus did in my heart. And I just started telling people what Jesus did in my heart. I had a burden, a sin burden. And when I repented and accepted the Lord in my heart, that burden was lifted. And I would tell people that God gave me peace of mind. God gave me peace of heart. And there was a young lady that I started telling that to. And then the following week, she went to church and she got saved. There was a friend of mine. I told him. He went to church the next day or the next week, and he got saved. All I know is this, you can say what God's done in your heart and life. Amen. So anyway, let me get into the message, the soul winner's message. Number one, the soul winner's message involves the Lordship of Christ. The Lordship of Christ. In verse 36, Peter, here's his message. He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. And I know I've shared this before, but anyway, there is such thing as Jesus Christ being Lord. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. So when you accept Jesus Christ, and I know a lot of people say accept Him as your Savior, and I understand what you're saying, but He's Lord and Savior. Right here, the message was both Lord and... It wasn't just Christ. It wasn't just Savior, but it was Lord and Christ. Jesus was more than a man. He was. And I shared that the other day, but He was more than a man. He was more than a prophet. He was more than a teacher. He was actually God manifested in the flesh. And I'm not saying you're going to understand all that, but you're going to believe it. A lot of things I don't understand, I believe concerning God's Word. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus is Lord. I don't care what you say, He is Lord, because that means He is very God. When He was born, His name was Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. The Bible says in John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, capital, W-O-R-D. The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. In verse 14, it says the Word was made flesh. Who was that? That was the Lord Jesus. In John 14, verse 8, Jesus said, He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, without controversy, no argument here, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So Jesus is God. So when you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you accepted Him as God. Not only that, Lordship also means owner. Actually Jesus was talking to a group of sinners and actually the Pharisees, and said, you're your father, the devil. Think about that. If you're not a child of God, then who are you a child of? Before we were saved, we was all a child of the devil. We sure was. But I'm glad when I got saved, I got bought with a price. I'm not the devil's anymore. I thank God that I've got a new owner. I'm glad that the Lord owns me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, you're not your own, but you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your heart, which are God's. So I'm not even my own any longer. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad you've been bought today? Aren't you glad you've been bought today? So what does the Lordship of Christ mean? It means He's God, but also means He's owner. And then thirdly, it means He's master. That means controller, supreme in authority. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, I know you know the verses. But one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Aren't you glad you can kneel and bow your head and your heart and your knee and actually allow Him to be the Lord of your life? Isn't that wonderful? But one day everybody will do that. I'm talking about everybody. I know when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I accept Him as my God. I accept Him as my owner. I accept Him as my master. And this is a daily walk. So I've got to yield myself to the Lordship of Christ daily if I want Him to guide me and direct me and lead my life. He's still my Lord, but I have to submit to that Lordship. No matter what, you have to submit to whoever is in leadership or whoever is in authority over you, you got to submit. I know there was a time that I didn't submit to my dad, but it didn't last very long because my dad was a good disciplinarian. He always said, and this is not right to say, but this is what he always said, do as I say and not as I do, and that's wrong. But the thing is, he did teach me some things, and he used the belt. And he knew exactly how to use that. All I'm trying to say is, when you accept Jesus Christ, you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. So, number two, the soul winner's message is about the Lordship of Christ. Number two, the soul winner's message is about Holy Ghost conviction. Holy Ghost conviction. If you'll notice in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were pricked in their heart. They were pricked in their heart. That's Holy Ghost conviction. You don't get saved unless God convicts you about your sin and woos you and draws you. The Bible says this about conviction. In John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. In Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So what I'm saying is, the Holy Spirit's got to convict you. Got to convict you. No conviction, then no conversion. I remember a young man, 1979, gave me a gospel tract, and I put that gospel tract down. Well, God began to deal with my heart about the verses in that gospel tract, and I know I've shared this before. I just feel like I need to share it again. But anyway, I read the Bible verses, and God began to convict me about my sin. I remember going to my mother. I said, Mom, I said, I've got a good job, a brand new car, living out of my own, got a good family, go to church, everything a young man desires. I feel like I have that, but there's something missing in my life, and I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's got to do with God. She said, well, maybe you ought to go talk to the priest. So I did, made an appointment, and I went and talked to the priest. Basically said the same thing. I said, listen, I've got a good job, I've got a brand new car, living out of my own, got a good family, go to church, everything a young man would desire, I feel like I have that, but there's something missing in my life, and I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's got to do with God. And the priest said, well, maybe you ought to get more involved in the church. So I did. They started these Renew programs, I got involved, got my mother involved, got my aunts involved. We got involved in that for about a year and a half. They had a Bible study with the priest on Wednesday, and I went to that. They actually had a charismatic type meeting in the fellowship hall on Thursday. I went to that. Did that for a year and a half. I still didn't have peace of mind or peace of heart. I just didn't have it. I was working at Piedmont Engineers as a draftsman. There's a young man that started working there about a month after I did. His name was Frank Jones. Well, Frank and I went to high school together, and I hadn't seen Frank in 3 years. Well, during that time, he got saved, and I didn't know that. So anyway, when I was there at work, he walked in, and I recognized who he was, come up to him, shook his hand. I said, Frank, how you doing? He said, fine. I said, what you been up to? And all he said was Jesus. And he said in a way like he just didn't know about Jesus, but like he knew Him personally. I said, Frank, what are you talking about? He said, let me go home with you and I'll show you. He opened up his Bible and he began to witness to me. Before he finished, I knelt down beside my couch. I called on God. I said, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me for my sins. I ask You to come into my heart, come into my life and save my soul. I said, I don't understand all that's going on, but I give You my life in the name of Jesus. I went down a sinner and come up a saint of God. That burden of sin was lifted, and I got saved by the grace of God. Thank God for that, but that was called Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. Now, how many of you heard the story about my brother Gary getting saved with the beer truck? How many of you have? You have two? Oh, okay. How many of you have not? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, I was going to anyway. I just wanted to get permission. I began to witness to my family, and at first, to be honest with you, they'd listen, and then after that, they were avoiding me. So I'd go to my mother's house, and there were seven of us, three older brothers, three younger sisters. My parents divorced when I was 12, and Mom was there. When I'd go in that front door, someone would go out the back door, someone would go out in the garage, someone would go in the back room, the bathroom. They was avoiding me like I had a plague. And I shared this the other day, I think, but anyway, when we sat down to eat, they always asked me to pray. So I asked the Lord, I actually went through the Romans Road, asked the Lord to save that crowd. Then I asked the Lord to bless the food in Jesus' name. Amen. So anyway, I was praying one day. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do, and I don't know what to do, but I've been witnessing, and they're avoiding me, and I don't know what to do. And God spoke to my heart and said, the seed of God's Word been planted. Now you soak it down in prayer. So I just started praying. And I'd go to bed late at night. Sometimes I'd pray for my family. I'd wake up early in the morning and I'd pray for my family. I didn't do this all the time, but there's time I prayed all night just so my family would get saved. You know the story, my brother Robert gave me a call. He said, David, I read my Bible, but I don't understand it. And I hung up on him, drove over there, and began to witness to him. He called on God in repentance and faith and got saved. My sister Janet was sitting at my mother's house, and I went over there on a Saturday, and Mom was at work, and I was sitting there with her in the den just talking, wasn't even witnessing to her. She had tears in her eyes. I said, what's the matter? She said, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I opened up my New Testament, began to witness to her, and she got saved. My brother Gary invited him to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My brother Gary drove a beer truck for Schlitz. That's what he did for a living. So he comes Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for a whole month. And the last part of that month, on a Wednesday, he drove that beer truck and went from one place to another, one restaurant to another, one bar to another, one store to another. That evening he got home, got cleaned up. He was going to come to church. He got in his car and his car wouldn't start. So the only way to get to church is drive that beer truck to church. So he drove that beer truck, had Schlitz, my little bull on the side of that truck. So anyway, come driving up, couldn't find a parking place big enough for that truck, so he parked it right in front of the church. So the only way he can get in that church is go around that beer truck, go up the front steps and walk in the front door. Somebody come running to the preacher, said, preacher, 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 you won't believe this, but someone drove a beer truck, parked it right in front of the church, can't even get in the church unless you go around that beer truck. He said, I don't know who it is, maybe he'll get saved tonight. And he preached a salvation message on a Wednesday night. And at the invitation, my brother Gary was in the back row, and he come all the way to the third row where I was, went like this. He said, I am so ready. They took him in the back room. He called on God, repentance and faith, and he got saved by the grace of God. You know why? Because of Holy Ghost conviction. He come out of there, and I used to wear these pins a lot. One says, Jesus saves. One says, Jesus loves you. One says, Jesus is Lord. I happen to have the one Jesus is Lord on, so I took it off my coat and put it on Gary's coat. I said, Gary, wherever you go, you need to wear it. He said, I'll do it. Next day, he went to work. Had his uniform on, Schlitz on this side, and Jesus is Lord on this side. Walked in that warehouse, and the manager looked at him and said, what is this Jesus is Lord thing? He said, I got to tell somebody. He said, well, come into my office. Several people was in that office. So he said, you don't believe this. I've been going to church all month. God's been convicting me about my sin. Last night, I repented of my sin. I accept the Lord into my heart. I got saved by the grace of God, and every one of y'all need to get saved. Of course, a month later, he had to get him another job. Say amen right there. Holy Ghost conviction. Holy Ghost conviction. Holy Ghost conviction. There was one of our men, Rock of Ages men, that was at Evans Correctional Institute. We were all there, and I was actually coordinating that meeting, and I asked him to preach, and he did preach. I'm not kidding. God just moved in, and he was in the middle of his message, and a fella got up, an inmate, out of his chair and ran to the altar. And I went over there and dealt with him. God was convicting that man. And he called on God and asked God to save him before the message was even started good. That's Holy Ghost conviction right there. So the soul winner's message involves the Lordship of Christ. Secondly, it involves Holy Ghost conviction. Thirdly, it involves repentance and faith. I want you to notice with me at verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, you've got to repent. Now, Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, and our brother was talking about this, Charlie, talking about repentance. Except you repent, you shall likewise, you've got to repent, or you'll likewise perish. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out. You want your sins blotted out, you've got to repent. Now, repentance is this. It's a change of mind, and it's a change of heart. The key is you turn into God. You can turn from sin and not turn to God, and all you're doing is reforming. But you got to turn to God. And when you turn to God, you're actually turning from that old lifestyle of sin, accepting the Lord in your heart. God will forgive you, but He'll deliver you from that lifestyle. So instead of you walking in this direction, you're going to start walking in this direction. Instead of you living for the devil, you're going to start living for God. Instead of walking the path of unrighteousness, you're going to start walking the path of righteousness. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It does not mean you're perfect. Your desire will be different. Your direction will be different. Your life will be different. You know why? Because your heart will be different. The heart is everything. Who preached on the heart? The heart is everything. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, for they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how we turn to God, that's first. From idols to serve the living and the true God. You got to turn to God first. I mean, I believe repentance is turning from sin, but you better turn to God. You can turn to anything else. You might leave that particular sin. You might get involved in another one. All I'm trying to say is repentance and faith. You got to turn to God from that lifestyle of sin. And then faith. Thank God for faith. All that is you just believe in God. There's a lot of things you cannot believe in this world, but there's one thing you can believe in. That's God Almighty. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart. For 21 years I had the head knowledge. The devils believe that they tremble. But I didn't have the heart knowledge. On July the 7th, 1981, on a Tuesday night at 9 p.m., brother, I got the Lord in my heart. So the soul winner's message involves the Lordship of Christ. It involves Holy Ghost conviction. It involves repentance and faith. And by the way, it says repent and be baptized. You can be baptized 100 times and it will not change your life. In fact, water won't even wash away dirt unless you add a little soap to it. So what I'm trying to say is not the water. If it was the water, then you could be baptized and be saved, but you can't because the water didn't die for your sins. Your church membership, you can be a member of 10 churches if you want to be, but that won't change your life. The church didn't die for you. You can have good works, but before a holy God, there's none good. The best we do, the righteousness, our righteousness is filthy rags to a holy God. The best we can do is terrible. It's terrible. The best we can do. So, water does not wash away sins. But when you repent, thank God, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the next one that I want to talk about. The soul winner's message involves the Lordship of Christ, Holy Ghost conviction, repentance, and faith, and then also involves remission of sins. Look at verse 38. The Bible says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That word remission means forgiveness of sins. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God said, I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your sins. So it's not the water, it's the blood. When Jesus shed His blood, He did that for the remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So thank God for the blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood. So the soul winner's message, it involves the Lordship of Christ. It involves Holy Ghost conviction. It involves repentance and faith. It involves remission of sins. And then lastly, number five, it also involves a new life. A new life. If you made a profession and your life hadn't changed, that's all it was a profession and no possession. I don't want a profession. I don't want a profession. I dealt with two men at Tiger River. And I began to witness to one of them in a lockdown unit, so we were talking through the little crack there. I gave him a Bible, I gave him gospel tracts, and I began to witness to him. And he understood everything I was saying. And he realized he was a sinner. He knew that. And he realized he owed a sin debt, and he realized Jesus died for his sins. And he actually knew he needed to be saved. But he said, I'm just not ready. And I didn't push it. But I said, now that you know how to get ready, the responsibility is on your life, on your soul. God said He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I just prayed for him. Dealt with another fellow, he said he wasn't ready. Dealt with another fellow, he said he was ready. Praise God for that. But what I'm trying to say is, thank God that there is remission of sins, but there's also a changed life, a changed life. If you'll notice with me in our verses, in verse 41, then they gladly received His word, were baptized. The same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. Notice verse 42. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That is God's word. Fellowship. They were fellowship and communicate one with the other. Breaking of bread. And that's the Lord's Supper in this particular verse. And in prayers. They were praying and they were calling on God and seeking God's face. If you notice, verse 46, they continued daily with one accord. Now, I know we come to church, mostly Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but they went to church every day. I think that was pretty good. Amen. They went every day. They continued daily in one accord in the temple. And then also breaking of bread from house to house. So they were actually fellowshipping, and they were eating a meal together. How do you know it's eating a meal? Well, notice the next phrase. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Kind of like us preaching every night this week and going back there, eating, getting home at 11. I enjoyed it. But it really wasn't good on my stomach, I can tell you that right now. But I had a time of my life anyway. Praising God and having favor, all the people and the Lord added to the church daily that such should be saved. So thank God for the soul winner's message. It involves the Lordship of Christ. It involves Holy Ghost conviction. It involves repentance and faith. It involves remission of sins. And it also involves a brand new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new in that person. I was working in a prison in Missouri, and I was dealing with a fella who is a preacher's son. And I began to talk to him. Had tears in his eyes. He said, "My mom just died." I said, "I'm sorry about that." He said, "My mom been praying for me. My dad's been praying for me." He said, "I've been a rebellious son." He said, "But I'm tired of my rebellion. I'm tired of that." He said, "I just need help, and I need help right now." So I opened up my Bible, and he knelt. We knelt together. He prayed in his own words, called on God, and asked the Lord to have mercy upon him, and asked the Lord to save him. That mother's prayers did not go void. I was witness to another fellow. He was agnostic. Funny thing is, he actually sat down at a table where I was. It's kind of an open pod. And he had a Bible there, and he put it down there. And he said, "I'm agnostic." I said, "Why do you have that Bible right there?" He said, "Well, there was one of the inmates left, and he gave me his Bible, and I've been reading it for a month." He said, "But I've been agnostic." And I said, "What are you now?" He said, "I believe this book right here." I said, "I just don't know how to accept him." So I opened up that same Bible and began to witness to him, and he called on God and asked God to have mercy upon him, asked God to save him. We were at one dorm, and I didn't realize it, but that whole dorm was full of Muslims. And so I got there sitting and talking to one fella at a table, and he let me witness to him. I had no idea he was Muslim. When I finished, another fella got there, and then they both started talking to me. And I realized they were Muslim, and we were going back and forth. But every time I would use a scripture verse, and all they would say, "Well, we think." And then I stopped them and I said, "We're not going anywhere. I'm not changing. You're not changing. We're not going anywhere. The only problem is this. I've been quoting Bible verses to you, and all you said is what you think." So to be honest with you, I've got a New Testament, Rock of Ages, New Testament study Bible. Got a lot of study notes in it. I think you really need to take this Bible, study it, so the next time we talk, at least you'll be intellectual enough to know where I'm coming from, and maybe you can have an argument on your point, or on your part. He said, that's good, I'll take one of those. Another fellow, I'll take one too. Well, we're supposed to be going there in about 2 months. I can't wait to see what God's been doing. But if they've been reading the Bible, you know God's gripped their heart. Brother David Harrelson works with Rock of Ages as a missionary, and he's the Southeastern Regional Director. Brother Mike Kelly was that, and then he's that now. He had a brother that's been in and out of prison for 22 years, and his name is Bo. Well, they both lived with their grandmother because their parents divorced, and each one of them got married many times. So they lived with the grandmother, and she always taught them right and always took them to church. When they got on their own, Bo went one way, but David, he got saved, he got right with the Lord, and he started living for God. Well, Bo's been in prison, in and out, for 22 years, and he happened to come to Lexington County at the county jail there in Columbia, South Carolina. I knew he was there, so I wanted to go to that meeting, so I did go to that meeting. And I got to witnessing to him. He wouldn't even look at me. He had his head down the whole time. And I would witness to him. So anyway, he looked at me finally after I gave an invitation. He said, "Preacher, to be honest with you, I have it here. I just don't have it here." He said, "But I want it here." So he knelt down with me right there in a pod where all the other inmates are. And he prayed and asked the Lord to save him. I gave him one of the Rock of Ages study Bibles. I came back 2 days later just to check on him, see how he's doing. He already read the whole book of Genesis. He said, I didn't know that there was so much in this Bible right here. He said, I also been reading Proverbs that you told me about and Psalms that you told me about. I didn't realize that there's so many directions and so many instructions for my life. I never knew that before. He said, this is really good. And I said, it sure is. God did a work in that man's heart. I'll close with this. We were at a Charleston naval brig and had an opportunity to preach the other day. Had 8 people come forward to get saved. But one of the men that got saved, when I was dealing with him, he told me that he's done some real bad things. He said, and God's really been dealing with his heart about it. And I said, well, right now, if you'll pray and repent of that, ask the Lord to save you, He will save you. So he did. He asked God to have mercy upon him, asked God to save him. When he got up, he felt that burden lifted right then. Aren't you glad God can lift that burden right then? I will close with this. I was at a prison, Wateree Correctional Institute, and I had an opportunity to preach on a Friday night. And when I finished, a young man came to me. His name was Stephen. And he said, can I tell you my story? And I said, sure. He said, I took a man's life 18 years ago, and that's why I've been in prison. He said, but a month ago, the mother of that young man wrote me a letter and said, it's taken me 8 years to write this letter, but I want you to notice that I have forgiven you for what you did to my son. I also want you to know that God loves you and Jesus died for you and wrote the whole plan of salvation down for him. This young man was brought up in the Wiccan religion, white witchcraft. He didn't even believe in God. But for a whole week, he read that letter several times, and he just said, I couldn't stand it no more. He said, I just laid on my bunk, called on God, repentance and faith, and I got saved by the grace of God. He said, do you go to McCormick? I said, I do. He said, I used to be at McCormick, and those believers there would witness to me, and I'd give them a hard time because I was a Wiccan fella. He said, I want you to tell them that Wiccan fella got saved. I said, I'll be glad to. The soul winner's message, it's a message of the Lordship of Christ. It's a message of Holy Ghost conviction. It's a message of repentance and faith. It's a message of remission of sins. And it's a message of a new life in Christ.